Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
We will give an account for our stewardship. Now, folks, if that's not true, let's cancel church right now. I'm going to go fishing. If there's no life after this life, if we're not going to see God when this life is over, let's go fishing. Let's go watch a ball game. Let's go do whatever everyone else does. But if I'm going to stand before God and give an account, and if you're going to do that, I suggest you listen to this message.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Stewarding God's Resources.
And I want to remind you that if you're going to steward God's blessings faithfully, it's not going to be get rich quick. It's not going to be speculation. It's going to be doing wise business over a long period of time. Look at the Bible verse that speaks to that issue in 1 Timothy 6:9. 1 Timothy 6:9, notice what it says. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, that verse is not speaking against being rich or having wealth. That's not what the verse is saying. The Bible doesn't say that money's the root of all evil. It says the love of money's the root of all evil. So what does the verse mean when it says they that will be rich? Listen very carefully. It says those whose overwhelming desire is to have money. Those who will. I mean, they get up every day and that's what they want. And they're willing to bet the farm on it. And they just will and desire to be rich. What is going to happen to them? They're going to fall into temptations and they're going to fall into a snare. This man was not blessed because of get rich quick. Because he had to have it and he had to have it now. This man was one who faithfully, consistently traded over time. The man with two talents did the same thing. They were faithful stewards, trusting the Lord, praying and seeking His wisdom. Notice, secondly, the faithless steward. There's one in this story who was not a wise steward. And the Bible says in verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He lacked faith. Luke 19:23, wherefore then gavest thou thy money into the bank? Gavest not thou thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? You know, even in the worst of times, someone can put some money in the bank and make 0.5% or 1%. Anything's better than sticking it in the dirt, which this man did. And he was unwise in his stewardship. He lost the opportunity to glorify God. He lost the opportunity to better even himself or his family to the glory of God. Now, sometimes we want to play games and we want to get quick, but God says that the wise man traded over time. I heard about a man that in the story he met God and he said, God, what is a million years to you? And God said, well, it's like a second. And he said, well, what is $10 million to you? And God said, well, it's like a dime. The man said, well, can I have a dime? God said, just a second. You know, sometimes people are trying to figure out a way to manipulate God or a way to get rich quick. But the demonstration of stewardship that we see in this text was faithfulness over a long period of time. By the way, if you've made mistakes, poor investments, thank the Lord there's still opportunity for a second chance and to learn how to be a better steward. Well, we see the distribution was from God, and we see the demonstration of stewardship that these men who traded over time and honored the Lord were blessed. But notice thirdly in our passage this morning, the day of reckoning. The day of reckoning. Sounds like a movie title, doesn't it? The day of reckoning came. Look at verse 19. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now, in this discourse, Jesus was addressing those who would be alive at his return. And I got to tell you something, friend. You might be new to all this, but the Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ is coming again. And the Bible is very clear that the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise. We which are alive and remain shall join them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It is the blessed hope and the glorious returning of Jesus Christ that motivates us and that we look forward to. It's the day when we will see him. Now, I want you to see this word in verse number 19, that there was a reckoning. And so we see that this was, letter A call to accountability. He says, all right, men, I gave you your chance on earth. I gave you your families. I gave you your blessings. I gave you some jobs. I gave you some monies. I want you now to give an account. Tell me how things went. We see here that the Lord will return. Even in such manner as he went up the first time, he will come again. And we see that the Lord will reckon, Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now the world asks, what does a man own? Christ asks, what is he doing with what he owns? Give an account of your stewardship. And again, it's not for us to say, well, why did he get that job? And why does she have that money? And how come he has less or more? It's not for us to bring the judgment. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I had a man this past week who gave me a large check and said, I want you to use these monies to help keep Bible college students in Bible college. It's not my job to begrudge the fact that he has a large bank account or a large assets. I'm just thankful that he's using what he has to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's not ours to question how someone has been blessed. It's not ours to do that. God will do that. But what he wants to know, the accounting firm that audits the books of this church, for example, they're not as interested in the volume that we bring in. They are interested in the accuracy with which the records are kept. And God is not as interested in the volume that you possess as he is with the way that you steward what he has given to you. So he says, look at the guy with one talent had just as much of an opportunity to be blessed, but he squandered his opportunity. And so the Lord will come and the Lord will reckon. It's a call to accountability. Number two, it is a commendation to the faithful. We see that on this day of reckoning, there will be a call to accountability and the faithful will be blessed. Now look at this in verse 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. How many of you say, I want that guy to handle my investments? Right? And he said, Lord, I did a good job, and I have five more. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, let me just stop right there. How many of you are saved this morning? You've trusted Christ as your Savior. Let me see where you are. All right? That's the most important decision you've ever made. How many of you believe one day you're going to stand before the Lord? If you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Bible. I've shown you three scriptures already this morning. We're going to stand before the Lord. How many of you who believe you're saved and you're going to stand before the Lord would like to hear the words, well done, from the lips of your Lord? Okay, then keep listening to this message.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be your...
The second half of today's message is coming up next. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a special message. Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chappell.
You know what my job is to do as your pastor? To get you ready for that day. That's my job. Now you might have another job. You might have a job to get the airplane ready for flight day. You might have a job to get the, to get something else ready. But my job is to get you ready for that day. And I would love it at that day if the Lord said to me, well done. I would love it if he said that to a whole bunch of people in this building. So these men heard the word, the faithful servants heard the words, well done. He said, I'm not only gonna give you more responsibility here on this earth, but I'm gonna let you know that eternally there's a blessing waiting for you. You're gonna hear me say, well done. So you say, I wanna hear the Lord say, well done. Let me give you five principles that God has blessed in my life five ways to multiply your talents so that you can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Number one, you want God to be blessed, to bless your life. Let me challenge you. Work diligently. Work diligently. The Bible says that if a man does not provide for his own house, he is worse than an infidel. Now, I'm not putting someone down who's in between work right now. I recognize there are many that are in between work. But let me challenge you to work as hard at getting work as you would work if you had work. Let me challenge you to find something to do. Help mow the lawn for a widow. Come around church and help out. Find some place to volunteer. Don't stay at home and argue with mama. That's what a lot of our marriage counseling goes up because of unemployed guys who stay at home and just kind of bicker. Look at, stay busy for the Lord. Work diligently. God blesses hard work. And so I want to challenge you with that. Number two, transfer the ownership of everything you have to the Lord. Transfer the ownership of everything you have to the Lord and say, Lord, this money, this time, my family, these material possessions, it's all yours. I want to drive this car where you want me to take it. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to transfer ownership. By the way, some of you have been trying to steer your own car and you've steered it into bankruptcy. You've steered it into difficulty. And now the Lord's saying, look, why don't you seek my wisdom? Why don't you let me help you make those decisions from now on, you see? And so work diligently, transfer ownership. Number three, steward efficiently. That is to say, live within your means. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Sometimes, every day of the week, we are helping someone in the way of benevolence through our church. Our deacons and staff are helping folks. And we learned a long time ago, we don't just give out money. I remember years ago giving a guy some money right out of my own pocket. I went to Albertsons at lunchtime and he was buying booze. We're not going to help you buy your booze. We're not going to help ruin your family. We're not going to help intoxicate you so you can hit your kids. So what we do is we have these little certificates now that help people buy bread, milk, and other groceries. And we give those out all of the time. And we're glad to help people who have need, especially those who are of the household of faith. But what I have found in helping people who have need is that sometimes people say, could you help us pay your electric bill? But they have a cable TV bill that they're spending $80 a month on bringing cable into their home. Now, friend, if we cannot afford lights and we cannot afford bread, maybe it's time that we said, I need to step back and evaluate what I spend my money on. You don't have to get quiet on me this morning. We're just talking about stewarding efficiently. Some of you don't like this message because you like your booze and you like your HBO. You like to ruin your family. You got drug in here by your wife or by your friend. But let me tell you something, friend. You need to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and start living your life like a Christian. Start honoring God in your finances and in your stewardship. And realize that if you cannot put clothes on your children's back and you cannot afford to take care of the electricity, then there's no fault in that if you're working as hard as you can. But if you're buying booze and buying some of those other things and neglecting your family, you need to get right with God. You see, steward efficiently, all right? Number four, save regularly. I remember my first job, it was a lawn mowing job. And I remember buying gas, I think it was about 16 cents a gallon. I'd put a gallon of gas in that lawnmower and I'd go mow lawns. And I remember my parents telling me, we want you to save 10% and give 10%. And then we would save 10 and give 20. And that's how we started our marriage, by saving a little and giving to the Lord. And we've increased in all of these years in our areas of giving. Just trying. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman retaineth honor and strong men retain riches. It's not a wrong thing to retain so long as you're using that blessing to honor the Lord in however he directs you. And number five, if you want God to bless you and if you want to hear the words well done, then let me challenge you, give generously. Give generously. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. And the fact is, the more passionate our faith, the more consistent our giving. The more we love the Lord, the more consistent we are in our giving. If I went home to my wife tomorrow and I said, honey, I got to tell you something. God's been good. And I just want you to know that I've been working as hard as I can, and I want you to know that the deacons gave me a special bonus. They gave me $250, and they said, this is for doing a good job. And sweetheart, you know, without you, I could have never, ever made it. You are such a blessing to me. And so since they gave me this bonus, here's what I'm going to do. Sweetheart, just to show you my affection, I want to give you a dollar to spend however you want to spend it. I thought you might want to go to the dollar store, sweetheart. Now, after she threw a pan at me, and after I got picked up by the EMTs off the floor, now my wife is a godly woman. If you know Terry, she would not be offended at a $1 gift. She's truly, honestly grateful for what she gives. The thing that might hurt her in that scenario is the implication that I'm not really passionate about her. God's not judging people by how much they give. What concerns God is how much do you love Him? And that's what giving is. It's a reflection of how much I love Him. Look at what the Bible says. Don't listen to me. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also how? And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also? Bountifully. Every man. Now let me tell you what. Every man in the Greek, that means every man. So that means all of us should be a part of giving. Every man, according as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Would you say that with me? For God loveth a cheerful giver. One more time. Now someone said, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. I don't subscribe to that. I think God looks at my heart as much as he looks at the gift. He wants me to truly say, like my wife wants me to truly say, I love you. I give this to you because I love you. And so if I'm going to hear the words, well done, I can't be miserly with my God. I want to be generous with my God. So there's a call to accountability. There's a commendation to the faithful. And then let's notice thirdly, there's a condemnation to the unfaithful servant. Now this is a little heavy. Stick with me and we'll be done here. But this unfaithful guy, you know, the guy that buried his one talent, the guy that made no effort at work, he did no trading over a long period of time. We're going to find in this passage that in all likelihood, though he was on payroll, though he was a servant to the master, he never knew the master. Just like it's possible, everybody look right here. It's possible to attend church and not even truly be saved. It's possible to be a part of a congregation and not truly be saved. This man gives evidence of the fact that he was never truly a believer or a follower of his master. You say, why do you say that, Pastor Chappell? Well, look at verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. I believe that this servant did not truly know the master. By the way, Jesus is not a hard taskmaster. Jesus said, cast all your care upon me. I care for you. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This guy didn't know Jesus. He had no relationship with Jesus. You see, the fact is, the reason that he did nothing with his stewardship was because he really had no real relationship to trust Jesus. He had no real relationship to believe Jesus. George Whitefield said, a true faith in Jesus Christ will not suffer us to be idle. No, it is an active, lively, restless principle. It fills the heart so that it cannot be easy until it is doing something for Jesus Christ. Hey, look, if you're truly saved, it's not going to be month after month that you're not going to church and you never read the Bible and you don't want to give. Look, if you're truly saved, then it does matter to you. You do want to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, if you really know the Lord, you want to serve the Lord with all your heart. This guy didn't really have that desire in his heart. And so he receives a condemnation. He did not know the master. He did not trust the master. What does he do in verse 25? It says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. You know, I meet a lot of people that are afraid of giving to the Lord. And it's amazing. One way or the other, they still wind up paying that tithe. It might be a blown transmission. It might be something else. You know, God's just going to wait until you're ready to trust Him. And this man says, I'm afraid of you, Lord. You're a hard God. He didn't know the Lord personally, did he? The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? Direct thy paths, you see. But this man didn't trust the Lord. So notice thirdly, this servant is judged by the master. Now this is hard, but I want you to see it. The Lord answered and said unto him, verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now again, if you're new at this, just a little quick sidebar here. You don't want to hear that on the day of reckoning. You know, none of us want to stand there, hi, Lord. You don't want to hear, thou wicked and slothful servant. But that's what he heard. And the Lord spoke directly to him, and he said to him in verse 26, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even he which hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's why I said the passage implies this man never knew Jesus. You say, why is he going to hell instead of heaven? Hey, the Bible says a lot of people at that great white throne judgment are going to hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. They can say, but Lord, I was in the church and you gave me a talent. He's going to say, I know, I tried to be good to you, but you never believed on me. And he's sent out into darkness. And into a place of difficulty and sin and hellfire for all of eternity, a place that is the opposite of light that in the Bible is referred to as hell. Now, my friend, let me just summarize by saying this. If you know that you're a sinner and you believe that Jesus died for your sin, that's the greatest gift God ever gave to you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But when someone says, I don't want that, then God says, wait a minute, you're missing out on the most important stewardship opportunity of life. You're rejecting my son. And if you reject Jesus, then there's a place waiting for you. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of torment. And you don't want to go there. And you don't want to hear those words, I never knew you. You want God to say, I knew you. I'm glad to welcome you. You want to know today that you are saved. And if you're here this morning recognizing that there will be a day of reckoning, but you're not ready for that, then there's a couple ways you can get ready. Number one, you can be ready for the day of reckoning by receiving Christ as your Savior. Letting him forgive your sin, letting him wash your sin away with his blood. And you can be ready for that day of reckoning by receiving the Lord and saying, Lord, as a sinner, I ask you to come into my life and save me. Number two, if you have already accepted Christ as your Savior, you know that you're saved and heaven bound, but you have not been stewarding well. You've been wasting time. You've not been training your children. You've tried to get rich quick one too many times. And in this message today, you're like, you know what? The way I steward the stuff God gives me, I've got to change that. I've got to do a better job. I've got to learn how to be more disciplined. I can't spend $65 a week on Pac-Man and ask my buddy to help me out at the end of the week. I can't spend money on booze and then expect God to bless when I need food. And some of you might say, I haven't even been giving to the Lord in the weekly offerings. But then we ask the Lord to bless us when we have needs. So in the area of stewardship, if you're without Christ, I urge you today, receive Christ as your Savior. Open your heart to Christ. You see, a man can go to heaven without health. A man can go to heaven without riches. A man can go to heaven without honors. A man can go to heaven without learning. Without friends. But you never go to heaven without Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I urge you today to receive Christ as Savior. Then apply your heart to wisdom and let today be a new beginning.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years. and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.